KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulveno. We begin in Ventura County. A Santa Paula man says he will cooperate with Special Counsel Robert Mueller's inquiry into Russia campaign influence in the United States election of 2016. Richard Panetto pled guilty to helping provide stolen bank account information to Russian operatives. This account information, according to released indictments, was used to buy election ads. Panetto says he wasn't aware that he was helping the Russians. Meanwhile, one of the big buyers of those political ads is Facebook, and the company announced plans it will start using some old-fashioned technology in the form of postcards to prevent foreign meddling into U.S. elections. Here's KQED's Alyssa Jong Perry.
Facebook's global director of policy programs, Katie Harbath, announced on Saturday that the company plans to mail out postcards with codes to any potential buyers of political ads to verify they live in the United States. The old-fashioned method will first only apply to ads that mention candidates' names before the upcoming November midterm elections. Issue-based political ads will not be included. The announcement came a day after Special Counsel Robert Mueller charged 13 Russians with interfering in the 2016 U.S. presidential election by using social media sites like Facebook.
For the California Report, I'm Melissa Jung Perry.
More than 4 million Californians received food stamps, over half of them children. Now advocates are worried that proposed federal budget cuts to the program may push more people into poverty. Here's KQED's Katie Orr.
In his recent budget proposal, President Donald Trump suggests cutting funding for food stamps by 30% over 10 years. Kristen Schumacher with the California Budget and Policy Center says the program does more than help people buy food. It can actually keep them out of poverty.
A budget is a statement of values and priorities, and President Trump's budget slashes programs that help families afford the basics.
Californians received about $7.5 billion in food stamp benefits in 2015, all of that federal money. Schumacher says that works out to about $1.50 per person per meal. She says if the benefits are cut, it could be difficult for the state to make up the rest. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
California regulators are launching an investigation into life insurance companies for allegedly denying policies to gay men because they were taking HIV prevention drugs. KQED's April Domboski explains such denials, if true, are discriminatory under state law.
When taken regularly, the drug Truvada has been shown in several studies to prevent HIV infection. But Courtney Mulhern Pearson at the San Francisco AIDS Foundation says insurance companies seem to interpret the drug as a proxy for high-risk sexual behavior.
The people that came forward to us felt upset about not being able to obtain life insurance, particularly because they were being denied based on something that they were doing to be healthy.
A California trade group for life insurance companies says insurers are in the business of selling insurance, not denying it. The group says underwriting standards do vary when it comes to Truvada, but coverage is still available from many carriers. For the California Report, I'm April Domboski.
Advocates plan to hold rallies outside courthouses in 9 California counties tomorrow, calling for an end to the cash bail money system in our state. Sacramento lawmakers introduced legislation to revamp a system they say punishes the poor and allows people with money to post bail, even if those people are dangerous. KQED's Marisa Lagos explains where things stand with bail reform, including some legal developments in the courts.
So basically, in the last few years, we saw some civil lawsuits filed challenging the constitutionality of bail. Those are kind of still winding their way through the court system. Separately, the public defender in San Francisco decided to essentially start appealing individual bail decisions when he thought bail was set too high or they wouldn't set a bail at the local level. And what happens is those go to the appellate court, and the attorney general's office actually steps in for the district attorney to represent the people in those.
And normally the attorney general just kind of rubber stamps it and moves on, and the district attorney carries the day.
Exactly. But under Javier Becerra, who's been attorney general for about a year now, they've started really looking at those cases on an individual basis. And in 15 cases since May, they've reviewed them. And in 11, they decided to agree with the defendant, not the prosecutors, that basically the lower courts didn't take into consideration things like public safety and the ability to pay and whether this person would show up in court, all of which under law they're supposed to look at.
That's significant.
It's huge. And what's really big is that a judge actually kind of stepped in recently on one of these cases and said, yeah, the lower court needs to take a really strong look at this case. This was a 64-year-old Kenneth Humphrey, a San Francisco resident who basically was accused of stealing a bottle of cologne and intimidating a neighbor. He's been in jail, a pretty indigent person, under a $350,000 bail. And so basically, once this order is made permanent in the next week or so, this guy could be released. But the bigger, I think, implication is this idea that both judges and prosecutors, the attorney general, are looking at this and saying, you know what, we need to like look at this on a case-by-case basis and not make blanket assumptions about defendants.
Well, so normally this is the part of the conversation where I ask you what's next. But if the court system has the mechanism to actually do it, if people do their jobs, then is there anything needed at the state level?
I think supporters of reform would say yes for a few reasons. One is that not every county has the sort of infrastructure that places like San Francisco might have to offer alternatives to bail.
And I was going to say, you misspoke and said San Diego, and that's the other question. I don't see how the San Diego district attorney would ever go along with something like this.
Yeah, so I think it's interesting. I mean, obviously in this case, the prosecutor, you know, it's kind of up to the judges. It's out of the prosecutor's hands. But I think that there's two reasons. One is to create more of a statewide infrastructure and potentially put more resources behind it. And the other is that I think that there's a real sense that just in general, like money bail is favored under the current law, and it's not the fairest way to do business.
All right. Marisa Lagos, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure.
Support for the California Report comes from Collective Health. Through technology, design, and human support, Collective Health offers companies and their people a new way to experience health benefits. CollectiveHealth.com. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
That's the California Report for Monday, February 19th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great President's Day.